All right. Good morning. Good to see each and everybody. Tell you what, we ought to open a church here. This is just awesome. You guys look great today. A lot of people here this morning. Good to see some people that we hadn't seen in over a year. Earl, welcome back home. It's good to see you this morning. Good to see you. I'm looking around. Bonnie's been here a little bit. Helen is back. Where's Helen at? Oh, she's already got mad and oh, no, she's over there holding the baby. Okay, Helen, good to see you. And we're going to have a special service today. I was so glad, Monica, that you showed up with the kids because I have no other sermon but a baby sermon today. So I'm so glad. But we're going to sing some songs this morning. We're going to tell you about a little bit of announcements that we have going on. We're going to talk about the Wednesday night business meeting and how to get involved with that. And obviously, right before the sermon, we're going to have a baby dedication, two of them. And then we're going to have just a time of prayer for people. And I'm just kind of looking forward to, I'm getting all geared back up. I'm getting all excited and antsy again. Oh, here I am. Now I can see myself on the screen back here.
Don't get too excited.
Yeah. This is great. All right. And when we get to... when we get to the new building, this is going to be, that's kind of what they're doing this for. There'll be two or three different cameras. There'll be hopefully screens across the whole front, and you'll see the Bible verses and the hymn words and different views of people that's on stage, and we'll be fading in and out and all kinds of fancy stuff. So, and we'll have indoor plumbing. Yes! Glory!
We'll be good.
I hope, right, Mike? I hope we'll have indoor plumbing. We have some good songs today. I picked out several, so we're just going to kind of barn barrel through them. First one is one of my favorites. We'll take it kind of... I get this from going too fast, so don't let me get going too fast. But it's Victory in Jesus.
I've got love like a river. I've got love. for which long I had brought since Jesus came into my heart.
Came into our hearts. I'd have been hosed down. I spit all over myself. Sweating everywhere. I tell you what, I love having a good time at church. Because we can't have a good time here, where can we have a good time at? And I got a feeling there's going to be a whole bunch of people up in heaven going, oh, we were supposed to smile. Yeah, we're supposed to have a good time. Yeah, because it's going to be a dandy day when we get done. I'm looking around. Look at some other people that snuck in during the first two or three songs. Good to have you all. We almost have a maximum crowd. This is great. This is great. This is great. They all knew Earl was coming back today. That's the deal, Earl. They all heard that you were coming back and everybody came in. We have a few announcements we want to share with you and let you know what's going on. First of all, Saturday at 11 o'clock, Charlie Bowman's memorial service will be right here, and the ladies of the church are working on a luncheon table. And in that, if you'd like to participate in it, you can just sign up here, and this is going to just be the sign up for what we have. They're looking for like 12 salads. We're anticipating about 35 to 45 people that'll be here, that'll be feeding, and got some people that already signed up. So I'm going to do this in the military style way. I'm just going to start passing it around, okay? We'll start it over here and then let it work all the way through. If it comes by and you can't be there, don't worry about that, but there's little spots. Where's the spot for chicken pot pie to go home with Pastor Greg? That's not on here. Okay, we'll add that at the bottom. Connie, you can sign up for that if you like. Anyway, that'll be a real nice service. It's next Saturday at 11 o'clock, and be praying for Karen and the entire family as they come. And we're just going to celebrate his life and what he meant to us and what he meant to family. And just come and be part of that if you can. Wednesday night. On the food, Amy, is that just supposed to be brought that day, or if
by 10:30
that morning? So if you're not coming to the service, they can swing you by a little early. I'll be here early next Saturday. Count me being here by 9:00. If you need to run it by early, if you can't make it, I'll have everything open and set up by 9:00. Is always like to, I don't like to be late anywhere, so I'm always 2 hours early. So if you need to drop a by, feel free to do that. Wednesday night, we're going to have our church quarterly church conference meeting. Basically, what that church conference is not really, like we're going to have a big conference. Well, it's business meeting. I don't know who came up with that years ago, but that was prior before my time. But that, we're going to have that on Zoom at 6:30. And Esther, if Esther's here, I will send that to you first thing before you get out of bed in the morning, I guarantee you. You'll have that in your inbox, the Zoom invite, and send that to everybody that wants to be part of that. Just come in and watch, and we will be discussing all the business and things of that order. I'm going to try, I can't promise, but I'm going to try to have a little PowerPoint that I can share with you on each item that we are anticipating on the building so everybody can know where the building's at. If not, well, I'll probably share with you next Sunday morning anyway. I always like to share from here. But I'll talk about the electric, where we're at with that, with CenterPoint, talk about the water lines, where we're at with that, talk about where we're at with everything happening. You'll see a big difference, I think, starting tomorrow. They're going to be a crew in there doing a lot of the cleanup work, setting the final stools, getting all that stuff that needs to be done. So you'll start noticing that. And they're going to start doing this, I believe, latter part of next week, ripping those doors out right here. But we're going to try to have a PowerPoint for you Wednesday night for the church council meeting. So come and get part of, be part of that, just to kind of let you know where we're at. Next Sunday, is that all the announcements? Yeah. That'll be a Zoom meeting, though, and we'll send that invite out, the passwords and everything for that. It won't be on BBS radio for the whole world. It'll just be for the church members to log in. Next Sunday, we're going to start a couple, a mini series on now that we're getting close. And I don't want to give a date because it always dings me, but vision. We're going to talk about vision the next two or three Sundays and what my vision is, what I think God's vision is for where we're going with the church once we get that open, and what our mindset ought to be like, what kind of attitudes we need to have, what kind of people we're going to reach, and just kind of get everything herded up together so when we make that bugle call to move into the new building, we'll know exactly what's going to be going on, and that'll be starting next Sunday morning in church. Okay. We're going to sing one more song, and then we'll have the deacons come up for the morning offering. I think I covered all the announcements. Did you sign up, Candy?
I did.
What did you sign up for?
Be a server and make cookies.
Okay, just checking. Okay, we're just going to begin.
No pressure.
No.
Aren't you glad you signed up?
I'm so glad you all showed up. Everybody's online going, I'm glad I'm not there because I wouldn't want to sign up for something.
To make me break the smoke around.
Well, I was kind of wondering if you're going to have brisket or not, but if you don't have the little cheat sheets, you're going to know this. As we kind of turn the corner and start getting our mind in the right place for what God's going to do through His Word and just our time this morning together. I love this song. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand. I'm tired, I'm my hand, precious Lord. I come to the garden alone. Come forward, we'll take up the morning offering and just continue on worshiping him with our tithes and offerings. And there is a continual worship that goes through. This isn't just a tag on. This isn't just something that, oh, no, now's the time. This is continual. Lord, thank you for everything you've done for me, done for us, and you just can't outgive God. And I appreciate everybody and their gifts. And come on up, guys. Here, you're fine. You want two or three?
I guess one and two.
You just want two? Okay. We got three, all right. Here's over here, Richard over here. All right. Gilbert, if you would, bless the offering.
Okay.
Thank you, my friend.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for bringing us once again together as the family, as your family, Lord. And we thank you for this very new day of life. I thank you, Father, for the indwelling Holy Spirit, which gives us physical power. Gives us spiritual and eternal life through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we just thank you, Father, for your many blessings Thank you, Father, for everybody here. I pray that you will bless them completely and their families. And as Pastor Greg was talking about the church building behind us, as it comes to a conclusion, I pray, Father, that we would pray and that we would not walk, but we walk by faith, not by sight, as we are going to be asked for the certain ministries that are going to be coming open. And we don't know when it's going to be, Lord, but prepare our hearts when that time comes. And I just thank you, Father, that that you are going to be with us and that you are in total control of everything that happens. And we know that everything is going to happen for the good. So we thank you for that. Now, I just pray that you will bless the offerings. Pray that everyone will give generously with joy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
To reach out and touch.
Before we have our little child dedication and then the sermon about kids, I've talked to I don't know how many families this week that are dealing with issues, folks. Our church families are being attacked. Our marriages are being attacked. Our kids are being attacked. And you may feel some of that pressure on your own personal life. And, you know, either, I really believe this from the bottom of my heart, either the Lord's getting ready to come soon, which is always a possibility, and we need to be ready, or God has so much in store for what we're doing and going to do that the devil's doing everything he can to attack everybody he can. And I don't believe there's been a time in our church that I can sit down and literally go through every page of the family and friends directory and go, oh my, oh my, oh my, and just go right down and go, yeah. That, and it's like, wow, do you feel that or is it just me? Are you all experiencing that? If you're not, consider yourself blessed. And if not, I would kind of almost sneak out right now because it may be coming. I don't know. But I just want to kind of ask you, and you can do this online even if you want. If you, and you don't have to say what it is, obviously. But if you just need prayer today for you or your family in a special way, I just want you to kind of raise your hand and I want everybody to just kind of look around at the people that need something. I'm not talking about average prayer. I'm talking about there's things happening in our family that I need an intervention. And then I want everybody to, if you want to commit to this, to say, I promise to pray for those people that raise their hands. Anybody want to make that promise? Okay, and that should be all of us, but you don't have to vow if you don't want to. I never will forget, there's a little lady back in Illinois, back in the wheat field in Illinois, Curtis, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I would have certain things. Hey, who's all going to be here tonight? And Teresa would not raise her hand. And Teresa was there every Sunday night. And she said, I will not vow something that I know I'm not going to, may not be able to. It's like, okay, well, but if you hope to pray for these people, that's what I'm looking for. Because I, folks, there's no other answer for what some people are going through besides the power of God and prayer. That's it. And I want you to feel what it's like to have somebody just lift you up and comfort you. You don't have, you know, I don't know if there's, if people's online and want to share that you pray for us, please put online, yeah, pray for my family. But I want you to feel what happens when we gather together and pray.
Lord, I believe.
believe somebody's praying for me. Is the time that we need to rally around each other, lift people up, and support each other in such a way. And one of the things I'm so proud of the church that we have right here that we call family, is I know there's people praying for me every day. And I don't know about you, but I need that. I need to know I'm still probably a few more months or years from making it in front of my Father, in front of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to have that rest of eternal home. But boy, I tell you, to have the power of prayer of our family is unbelievable. And I hope if you need that, that you can feel that today, that, yeah, I have a need, and we're just going to lift you up and support you, not only today, but throughout the week. And I'm one of those firm believers that if you're driving by something and something comes to mind, and if somebody's name comes to mind, lift them up in prayer. And if you can, give them a buzz. Give them a call. Say, hey, you just came to mind. You okay? Just thinking of you. Let you know I love you. Where's the little ones at? Monica, are you ready to do this? Are they all asleep? You can bring them on up. It doesn't get better than this. Oh, it just doesn't get any better than you. It just doesn't. Are you happy? Are you happy? Come on, buddy, look at this. Look at this. Joaquin, can I take it for a second? You want to sit in my chair? You want to be in the pastor chair today? Put you right here. You okay right there? Okay, you hang on tight. We'll put this over here so I can see your face. You all right? They're all looking at you. What do you think?
I'm scared.
I tell you what, I wish I had a hat like that. And I believe that for you, sweetheart, one day you're going to go to the doctor and all these little girls are going to say, what happened to your head as a child? Well, it's all these bows the mamas are putting on there. Isn't that gorgeous? I have a little, and I write these separately each and every time because I want them to be special for the family. Victor and Monica have brought up Joaquin. And how old is Joaquin?
Three,
Joaquin Samuel and Janie Marie. How old are you? Can you tell me?
Yeah. Oh.
I was waiting for that. I was waiting
seconds.
For that.
30 seconds.
Yeah, we'll see how long that lasts, but that's okay. You're this many?
Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. It says in Psalms 127:3, behold, children are a gift. Yeah, I'm two. Our gift of the Lord, the fruit of the womb, is a reward. Some gifts have strings attached to them. Some don't. But let me tell you, the strings that are attached to these gifts are many. And we're going to talk about that in the sermon. I know that God has given Victor and Monica a responsibility. Hey, buddy, when did you get? Did you come up with Mom? Did you? I didn't see. I'm sorry. Good to see you. You remember when this happened to you? You don't? I don't. Mom and Dad do. God has given Victor and Monica the responsibility to train up the children in the ways of God and to be an example of Christian living both inside and outside the home. Provide and protect and nurture their children. Make them a part of the family, sharing them that your love, your time, and your life, teach them that Jesus loves them. And to serve, obey, and honor him with all their heart. And I'm going to ask your mom and dad some questions right now, if that's okay with you. And they're going to answer, it's okay? And they're going to answer, I do, okay? But not to me. Not to your kids, but to God. Victor, Monica, do you recognize your children are a gift from God and give God thanks for blessing your life with these gifts? If so, answer, we do.
We do.
Do you now dedicate your children to the Lord who gave you these children? If so, answer, we do.
We do.
Do you pledge as Christian parents that you will bring up your children in a Christian home looking to God for wisdom, strength, and guidance? If so, answer, we do.
We do.
Do you promise to give your child every possible benefit of home, school, and church?
We do.
We do. Do you promise to pray for your child on a regular basis, realizing that it is only with God's hand upon their life that they can be truly blessed? If so, answer, we do.
We do.
Do you ask God's blessing upon the life of your child and children to guide, guard, and direct them all through their years? If so, answer, we do.
We do.
Now, church, normally I would have you stand, but because of the camera, and I want to make sure it doesn't block the camera view and everything, we're just going to have you do this from seated. Church, do you promise to pray for this family? If so, answer, church, we do.
We do.
Do you promise to love, support, and encourage this family to raise these children in a godly environment in hopes that one day they will each ask Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior? If so, answer, we do.
We do.
Let's pray. Dedicate. Dear Lord, I just want to come to you right now, and I thank you so much for life. I thank you so much for this gift of children. Lord, you have a divine plan. And the divine plan, Lord, isn't just to drop these kids into anybody's laps and say, here, take it. Take them. No, you have a divine purpose, a divine blueprint. And I ask, Lord, that you give Victor and Monica, Lord, wisdom, strength, prosperity, direction, courage, to stand up and be the parents they are called to be. And Lord, raise these children in such a godly home, Lord. And Lord, I ask that you take all of these children that are up here and protect them. Put a protection fence around them or keep them safe. Let their minds be clear. Let the devil, Lord, stay away from them. May their decisions be good. And may all their life, Lord, be built on your word and what you have in store for them. Thank you, Lord, for mom and dad. Thank you for the grandparents that are here. Thank you, Lord, for the grandparents that are smiling from heaven right now with all the family that's caught on before saying, hey, look what's happening today to our family. We give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' blessed name we pray it. Amen and amen. All right, yay! Okay, don't go yet, because I have something for you. I have this for you. I made that just for you. This is for y'all. This little memento. And you may want to know what this is. Put this in your underwear drawer or something, Victor, okay? Later on, there's a personal letter for each of these kids about how much I love them and something just for them, that this happened on this day for them, and they were the center of all the attention. And it's just for you, okay? Just for you, so make sure you have that. Awesome. And Esther made you some. Are you going to mail these to them, Esther, or you want me to give them to them? Oh, they have to sign them, so we'll do that at church. Come back up, we'll have you guys sign them, and we have those little certificates for you. You all ready? You did good, buddy. All right. Here's a toy. Here you go, buddy. Awesome. God bless. Is it getting better than that? I don't think so. I don't think so. And I always get, because we have a lot of visitors and people of different walks of faith that may indicate, hey, what was that all about? What's that mean? Did they just have a baby baptism, or what how does all that fit into how you believe? And we're fixing to tell you how that all works and how we believe and what the purpose of that is. And we're going to get the very answer to the question from the very place we ought to get all of our answers to all of our questions, and that's from God's word, not some from some denominational thing in some place that they had an annual meeting and voted on what we need to do. No, this is from God's word. So is there anything in God's word that indicates that there was a practice of this in biblical times? Oh, yes, I'm glad you asked. There is. So turn, if you would. We're going to be turning a couple different places today. Won't be very long, but I have 4 points. And sometimes when I have 4 points, I get kind of windy, but I'll try to keep it under control. First Samuel. And I think that's appropriate. Is Joaquin's middle name Samuel? Find that in your Bible. In the Old Testament. Best way to find that is find 2 Samuel. It's right before that. That's the only wisdom I have for you. We are giving these children, Victor and Monica, are giving their children back to God. And I know what some of you are saying. There's been many days that I like to give my children back to God, but I lost the receipt. But that's a different type of thing. That's a whole different. You know, one time there was a man that said, before I was married, I had six theories on kids. Now I have six kids and no theories. There's a little boy that came running up to mama one day, and it was her birthday, and she said, the little boy said, hey, mama, what do you want for your birthday this year? And the mom said, I would like to have three well-behaved children. And the little boy said, wow, that makes six of us. Okay. Enough of that. So I must have found my pastor illustration joke book, right? What do they practice in the Bible? Examples of parents giving their children to God. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 24 through 27. 1 Samuel 1. Hannah is involved in here. Look at that precious thing. Look at that. There it goes. There she goes. 1 Samuel 1:24, if you're there, say, oh yeah.
Oh, yeah.
24 goes like this. Now, when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bowls, one ephah of a flour and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. The child was young. So, Victor, I guess the bowl's out in the parking lot, right? Okay, thank you. The child was young. They slaughtered the bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition when I asked of him. She brought him back to the Lord. Then we see Zacharias and Elizabeth doing the very same thing in Luke chapter 1, verse 59 through 63. Luke 1, 59 through 63. So it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias. His mother answered and said, no, we're going to call him John. But they said to her, there's no one among your relatives who is called by this name. So they made signs to his father what he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, his name is John. And they all marveled. Immediately, his mouth was open and his tongue was loosed, and he spoke praising God. They had brought John to be circumcised and be given back to God. And of course, the one that I think is so significant in scripture while you're in Luke 2, turn over chapter, verse 21. When 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now, when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem and to present him to the Lord. That's what just happened. We're presenting them to the Lord. The parents are saying, this is borrowed gifts. You have honored us and blessed us and given us something very special. Now we want to make sure that, Lord, we give them back to you. I honestly believe that there's the times that when babies come into this world, that God literally looks down and he goes, okay, you. And then allows that process to happen. I believe God hand selects parents. Why he picked mine, I don't know. You can't question it. But he hand selects parents for the gifts that he knows are going to be bent and wired and created in unique ways. With Joaquin and his hat, that's going to be a unique child. I can't wait to watch him. Right, Grandpa? Watch him grow up and what he's going to get involved in. Tell you what, that's going to be something. And in those gifts, we just simply give back. Now, I'm going to look at one other place in Scripture that is probably going to confuse you with what, where do you get that out of a baby dedication? But we're going to get 4 points out of this one. Genesis 22. This is the ultimate giving your child back to God. Abraham and Isaac. Genesis 22, verse 2. And turn there, and this is where you're going to write down the four different things that I believe that God's asked us to do and the purpose of this. Genesis 22:2, if you're there, yay, okay, you there? All right. Then he said, now take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Now you got to remember, this was, I believe, all babies are miracle babies, but this was a miracle baby, right? How did this one even happen? Y'all know the story? Abraham was how many years old? Who? 99. That's older than me. Can you imagine having another child, Jack?
No.
No, and Lucy's over there and said, ain't no way in this life it's going to happen. But this was a miracle baby. This was a baby that happened when Sarah was 90. Abraham was almost 100 years old, and he invested his entire life was in Isaac. And then all of a sudden, God said, Isaac, take your son, your only son, and put him on a mountain, and we're going to present him as a burnt offering, to present him and literally give him back to God. This would have been a whole different service this morning if that was what was asked today. Be a whole different thing. But the significance, I want you to see the significance of an Old Testament story taken through the grace and the love of the cross gives us a pattern of how we should behave today. That's why it's there. Take these stories through the cross, and you're going to see four elements of surrendering your child to God. One, confirmation of your love for God and the child. That's exactly what Abraham was doing. God, I love you enough to take this child on a mountain and killing and burning to burn offering, cremating. And burnt offerings weren't left around to have anything left. You burned and burned and burned until everything was nothing but ashes. That's what Abraham was preparing to do to his only son. That was a confirmation of the love for God. Monica and Victor were doing this very same thing today. That's why we honor this little ceremony, for us to understand. It's a declaration, Lord, we love you. We love this child. We are confirming that today. Oh, so we just had a confirmation? Don't write in rituals. Don't write in doctrine in this. This is lifestyle and behavior. Two, giving your children to God is a clarification of ownership. This child is a gift of God. We see this, I don't know how many times, but in scripture where they say this child, children are a gift of God. Psalm 127:3 says, "Lo, children are the heritage of the Lord and the fruit of the womb." And that word heritage is a Hebrew word, nakala, which means something inherited, which gives us a understanding that we received this gift from someone that had already owned it. So we inherited these children. So it was passed on to you. So now you're just acknowledging, Lord, you are the owner. You're still around. This child is on loan to us. And we love you. And we realize you own this baby. And I can't imagine what God must think. And I won't go here very long. When we allow millions and millions and millions of these gifts to be aborted every year. And say, God, that's what we think of your gift. That's a whole different day. But boy, we're going to reap what we sow on that. And church, our country may be right now reaping what we're sowing on that. Giving your children, number three, to God is a commitment to raise your children under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 6:4 says we are to bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's not a ceremony. This wasn't just a little ceremony. And I hope you catch it before we close the Bible and go home. It was a commitment. It's not ceremony, folks. It's a commitment. Now, you may think that your little amen there when I ask you what your job was, if you was going to promise to do that, because I want to let you know, next week we're going to look at the vision of what this church is from God's point of view, and it's going to be so saturated with children that it may make some of you go, really? Absolutely. We are children foundationally based. I want this place to be the safest place in Pearland that somebody can come to school at and somebody can come to church at. Under our watch, your children will be taken care of. Under our watch, your children will be given God's word, not watered down, not mixed up with opinion, not mixed up in politics, but it'll be God's word, and we're not ashamed of that. And when a child gets out of line, we're going to pray for them. We're going to pray for the parents. We're not going to step back and go, because how many of us have done this? Step back and go, well, my child would never do that. And then a couple years later, your child's doing the exact same thing. And you go, wait, I said the word never, didn't I, God? And he said, yep, you sure did. I'll show you. Because I know my kids would. I'm just glad there was only one that had handcuffs on him instead of all three that I know of. Right, Curtis? I don't know. Curtis said, not me. Not me, Dad. Okay. The commitment to raise your children under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And then the last one that will be done, because I know I'm already past time. I knew it would go a little bit longer, but. Giving your children to God is a claiming of God's plan and promises for their life. Isaac inherited God's blessing, protection, and promise because his dad, Abraham, gave him back to God. Genesis 22, 15 through 18, and we'll end with this. 15 through 18. This is right after Abraham got the knife, was getting ready to kill this child and set him on fire. And all of a sudden he heard a noise off into the bushes. It was a ram, right? Mm-hmm. Had his horns caught in the bush or something, in the thistles or whatever. And got him to kill the ram. Kind of a test. And then it goes on. And it goes like this in verse 15. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven, said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing, because you have not withheld your son, your only son." Look what happens when we give him back to God. So the angel stopped. Angel declared they don't do anything. And then the angel said, "Wait, because you have done this, because you have offered your son, because Victor and Monica has dedicated little Janie and Joaquin to God, this is a promise that you ought to write and put on your refrigerator." And it goes like this: "Because you have done this and not withheld your son, your only son," in verse 17, "blessings, I will bless you and multiply. I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heavens and as the sands which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gates of the enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice." And Monica's saying, "Wait, does that mean I'm going to have a whole bunch more?" Well, I don't know. Only you guys know that. But I want you to see they were blessed. The blessing came from God. That's what we do. When we confirm our love to God, when we clarify God's ownership, when we make a commitment to raise that child under the leadership of the Lord, and we're claiming of God's best plans and God's promises for that child's life. And that's what I want in life. That's what we ought to want for every one of our kids. What, God, do you have in store for these kids? As we close, I close the Bible so I don't keep preaching. Sometimes that's the only way I can stop talking. Think about 102, 103 years we've been in existence as a church. Think about how many children have gone through. How many? Can you even fathom? I don't even think we even can fathom. Maybe one day when we have nothing to do, we'll take our shoes and socks off and count, because it's more than this. Gene, can you imagine how many children have gone through? You know?
No. When April was in fifth grade, we had 101 children enrolled in fifth grade.
In fifth grade, when April was, of course, that was... That was back in the horse and wagon days. Sorry, April. Enjoy having you back. So at one time, you had 101 children enrolled just in fifth grade class in Sunday school. It wasn't always like this, church. But the impact that they make on those children, and the pastors and the Sunday school teachers and the church leaders and the lives that have been changed because the church committed to children, is one of the reasons this church is as strong and stable as it is right now. Because the next generation was brought up with the right thing. Because, Senior, when you were sitting there holding them in the nursery and rocking them, time after time, when Jim was doing his thing, when there were so many things, when Coleman was doing his work with the kids, and sure, all those are days that I just sit back and go, "Lord, don't let me mess this up. Don't let me mess this up." Because I know I have a heart for kids. I I tolerate the older ones, but I have a heart for kids. That's what this church is all about. And we need to not only enjoy and celebrate in Victor and Monica's gifts, but to join in and celebrate what God's allowed us to be a part of. In church, as you're dismissed, we are part of something very special. Very special. And I want to take it back up to the next level in the new building, and we'll talk about that in next weeks to come. And make it around the one place that anybody within driving distance knows they can bring their church, their kids to church to. I want Face Springs to be right there on their mind. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we come to you and I thank you so much for the gift that you've allowed us to be a part of. Lord, the honor of being able to hold little Janie and have little Joaquin in my chair next to me. To be able to dedicate them, Lord, with awesome parents of Monica and Victor. Lord, we have been blessed. Not only are these parents blessed, not only are these grandparents blessed, but our church is blessed to have the honor to watch these kids grow up in our building, in our Sunday school classes. And Lord, protect them and pray for them. Lord, thank you for the day. Thank you for the commitments. Thank you for the gifts that you give us. And Lord, may we be found. May we be found when you split that sky open to receive your bride, the church. Lord, find us faithful. Faithful to the calling. Lord, please don't have me in the corner debating on something about the building. Have me on my knees, playing, smiling, and hugging one of the gifts that you give us in the children. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your love. You're an awesome God. Be with us this week. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen and amen. Sorry we've been long today. God bless you. Have an awesome week. Thank you for joining us right here live on Faith Springs. Join us next week at 10 a.m. Central Time right here in Pearland, Texas. God bless. Have a good week. Thank you all.